just have hearts and ears open to hear what you have to say about the church. We don't come to the church, we are the church. And we acknowledge afresh that you are Lord of this church. So be with Heather and be with us together in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's a great day, isn't it? No matter how you vote, it's a great day. So this morning, we're continuing on with John's series on the body of Christ. And there's two, if you've got your Bibles and if you want to follow loosely, there's two particular passages that we'll be tracking through. One of them is Romans 12. And just to keep it simple, the other is 1 Corinthians 12. So if you sort of want to have a marker in both places if you want to follow through, that's where we'll mostly be coming from this morning. But first of all, I want to tell you a story. And if you've heard of it, if you've heard it before, and if I get part of it wrong, I'm apologising here and now, because I heard it on the way to work one morning, and I think it's a Joyce Meyer one. But all I know is I was laughing so hard that I think I got the details right. So it's the story of the broken plate. Has anyone ever heard Joyce Meyer tell the story of the broken plate? Oh, great, I'm on a head start. This lovely lady was having a birthday party. She had the most beautiful cake there ever could be. She'd spent hours on it. She'd iced it, she'd baked it, she'd iced it, she'd created this most beautiful, almost Jenny Tritton cake. Not quite. Everyone's gathered out in the dining room. Everyone's waiting for this beautiful creation. And out she comes, and predictably, she trips. And the cake goes this way, the plate goes that way, and the whole lot is one creamy, broken mess on the floor. Well, how fortunate was she that she had members of her church who were members of the body of Christ, and each one of them swung into action with their gift to the fore to help her out of her predicament. So the lady who had the gift of administration says to her, "Now, Mary, you know there is a correct way to do it. And look, I've got the procedure manual here, and before you go to carry a cake next time, please read every part of it and get it right." So this poor lady's going, "Yep, okay." And then the teacher comes along and she says, "All right, guys, look, we've seen what's happened here today, an accident, we all know that, but I want you guys to all sit down, I want you all to just take note right now, and I'm just going to tell you bit by bit, step by step. Now, this is the way that you actually carry a cake out to the table, checking to make sure that there are no trip hazards on the way and making sure that the cake actually gets to its destination. Now sit and listen to me." The teacher had her say. An encourager comes along and she says, "Oh, Mary, look, hey, it's okay. It really is okay. Look, I know you're a bit shattered right now. You probably feel a bit like that cake." Well, that made her feel real good. "But I know, look, next time you'll be right. Don't give up, it's okay. Next time you have to carry a cake, just go ahead and do it, you'll be fine. It's gonna be good." Mercy comes in and she says, "Oh, Mary, oh, I really feel for you. I really feel your pain, Mary. Hang on here. Look, I tell you what, we can make this right. It's all gonna be okay. Look, there's a scone over there. It's good. Let's just get a candle. Let's put the candle in the scone and let's all sing happy birthday and it'll all be great, won't it, eh?" But in the meantime, gifts are stuck out the door and she's been to the shops and she's bought the best, not quite Jenny Tritton cake, but she's bought the best cake there was to be bought, and the party goes on. Well, how was that poor lady? Well, I guess she was pretty eternally grateful that she had such a great band of helpful ladies around her, steering her through this catastrophe and making sure it never happened again. She was probably a nervous wreck as well. But you know, the important thing is, that each one of these people was really well-intentioned, and each one of these people was acting out of their gifts that had been given to them when they became Christians, given to them by the Holy Spirit. And that short little anecdote, which I actually found was hilarious, is a real illustration of members of the body of Christ working together to do the work that God has set for them to do. So let's just backtrack a little bit. What is the body of Christ, and what is it that melds us together? If I look out through here, all of us, we're all individual people. Some of us rather are married, so we sort of have a bit more insight knowledge into each other than others. But we're all diverse and we're all individual. And even in a marriage, we can be quite diverse. And we all know that, don't we? What is it that is so special about the body of Christ that makes us, or should make us, in our communities, a force to be reckoned with? Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are God's masterpiece. How about that? I mean, I look at myself and I think, yeah, right. I'm glad he sees more than that. That we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew so that we can do the good work that he planned for us long ages ago. Now, if you ever think you're a mistake, think again, because you're not. And if you ever think you don't matter, think again, because you do. And if you ever think you're in the wrong spot, think again, because you're not. Because each one of us has our lives planned. Psalm 139, you planned every day of my life before I was even born. Psalm 139 again, you both precede me and you follow me, and you place your hand of blessing on my head. We are all wrapped up in God, in the place where he wants us to be today. But what is it that keeps us together? Any clues? Sorry?
A love of God.
A love of God? What is it that gives us this love of God? Or who? The Holy Spirit. That's exactly right. Each one of us, when we acknowledged Christ and gave our lives to Christ, when we acknowledged him as our Saviour and our Lord, the Holy Spirit came into our lives. And it is that Holy Spirit who works in each one of us, and through each one of us, draws each one of us together. He is the glue. He is the sinew. He is the muscle. He is the tendon. He is the lifeblood of our church. And he it is that gives us life and holds us together and gives us purpose and plans our work. The work is not ours, as Jesus said in John 15. He said, without me, you can do nothing. So just in Romans 11, 36, there's a therefore, therefore in Romans 12, 1. So you know the story. If there's a therefore somewhere, you've got to go back and find out why the therefore is therefore. So Romans 11:36, for everything, in brackets also, everyone comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory forever. Now how amazing is that? That as a church, as a body, we are intended for the glory of God forever. And we can read over these verses and say, yep, I get that, that's true, but bring it back to us. And how can we be that important in the scheme of things, in the scheme of God? If we think back and we meditate on that, it will give us a glimpse of the love and the passion that God has for us, as well as the purpose. Romans 12:1, devote yourselves to God. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. We can worship Him with our prayers, we can worship Him with our singing. And that is wonderful, and that's what He was. And we were reading through the week where Jehoshaphat faced an unbeatable battle, and the prophet of the day, whose name I have to confess I don't know, said to Jehoshaphat, send the worshippers, send the music makers in ahead of the army and the battle, and you will win the battle. How brave is that, for goodness sake? Unarmed, and they went ahead to meet the Amorites and Jen, I can't remember who else, two enemies of Israel who had met together to wipe Israel out. The worshippers and the music makers went ahead. And the armies, the enemies, were so confused and so thrown out that they fought each other and died. God caused a great victory that day through worship. And worship is vitally important. But worship is more than singing songs. Worship is our whole lives. Worship is from the moment we wake to the moment we wake next morning. We don't come to church and then go home, and that's our worship done. We don't have our quiet times and then go to work, and that's our worship done, or whatever we do. Every single mortal thing that we do, Paul is saying here, give your bodies to God for all that He has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind that He finds acceptable. Our lives are to be our worship to God. Don't copy the behaviours and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So devoting ourselves to God, meditating on His word. Psalm 1 says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in the mockers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on it day and night. I love this next bit. They are like a tree planted by a stream, well watered. They bear fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. Colossians 2 says, just as you trusted Christ to save you, trust Him too for each day's problems. Let your roots go down deep into His word. Spend time in the word. God can and will bless any time that we spend in His word. But the time that we dedicate to Him and we give to Him, especially in fasting of a TV program or something like that, something that we would normally do, that we have set aside and we have said, God, this is your time and your time alone, God will honour. And that honours God amazingly, and us giving that time honours Him. We will grow in our spirit, we will produce, or He will produce, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives as we devote and dedicate our lives and our bodies and our time to Him, and as we meditate on His word. He says, remain close to me. Jesus said in John 15, I'm the true grapevine. Without me, you can do nothing. But if you stay in me, I will stay in you. We can't do anything on our own. Look, we can read the Bible and we can say, okay, so don't lie, don't commit adultery, don't swear, don't gossip. Okay, I'm going to take those on board one at a time. And you know, we can make a fair effort at that. But all that we do is change our behaviour. We never change our inner man. We never change our character. That can only be from the Holy Spirit working within us. Galatians 5 says, and the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. He produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't we love to have that today? But it's a growing thing. It takes time. He said then, he goes on to say, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. The battle is on every day, isn't it? We don't just fall into fertile ground. We have the weeds and the thorns that are part of our sinful nature that haven't all gone the moment we become a Christian. And they come so easily, don't they? And don't they catch you just like that? You can be coming and sitting along. You can be singing a song for goodness sake, and then this thought comes in your mind, and then you've got to stop, and you've got to deal with that, and you think, where did that come from? We are God's prized possession, and Satan is unhappy. And he will attack us. Peter says, for your old adversary, Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He never, ever gives up. We have a battle to keep ourselves devoted to God. We have a battle to keep ourselves meditating. We have a battle to keep ourselves remaining with Jesus so that he can produce in us the fruit that will enable us to do the work that he wants us to do, enable us to produce the character that honors us in. So since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I can have a thought and go. I'm a bit impulsive, and I don't always think things through as clearly as I should. I'm a bit of a visionary, and I need people to hold my feet to the ground. But I'll tell you one thing. I've discovered that old dogs can learn new tricks, and I've discovered that by taking a second or two, I will hear many times God's voice, and he will say, and he will impress on me the right thing to do. Now, I remember meeting Yvette one day at work and saying to her, Yvette, can you come to work tomorrow? And she said, yeah, what time? And I said, oh, this time. And in my mind, it's going, you should check the roster. But I was pretty sure I was right. Well, I was dead wrong. I gave her the wrong shift time. If I had actually listened to what I even knew God was telling me at that time, when he was saying, go check the roster, and I didn't, I would have saved myself the time of having to ring Yvette back and embarrassed her, saying, oh my gosh, Yvette, I got it wrong again. Take the time to listen to that small voice inside you. Many times it will be the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and many times he will be telling you and guiding you. Take the time to follow. Up here is good. God has given us a brain for a purpose. In the Western world, we are good at using what we know. We need to learn to sit back and listen to the insight also that God gives us. Often the fruit grows also through troubles. James says, I love it in the Living Bible, when he says, dear brothers and sisters, is your life full of difficulty and temptation? And you say, yay, well, be glad. What? I didn't see that coming. For when the way is rough, then your patience has a chance to grow. Patience, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so let it grow, because when it is all over, you will be ready for anything, strong in character, fully complete. So the body of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit, he melds us, he joins us, he grows fruit in us, and that fruit produces the character in our lives that honours him as we live in our community day by day. But there's more. When we become Christians, he gives each one of us, he's an amazing God, not only does he give us the gift of salvation, he gives each of us at least one spiritual gift that we did not have before. Guys, these gifts, they're special abilities that have been given to us by the Holy Spirit, not for our own glory, not for our own praise, but to honour and to glorify God and to enable the work that He has planned for us in this church, in our area, in this country, to be achieved. We are all very small parts of a very big machine. And we are all definitely but finitely placed. And we are given the gifts that will enable us to do the work that He planned for us long ages ago. So Romans 12 verse 4. Just as our bodies have many parts and each body has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We're many parts of the one body and we all belong to each other. We're stuck with each other, guys. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. The gifts that Jesus gives, or that the Holy Spirit gives us, they're the special abilities that are given, like I said, at the time of conversion, and they are different to talents. And we see Simon with his great musical talent, and it's a talent. It's not a spiritual gift. But God uses it in ministry. So I'm not sure what Simon's, I don't know actually what Simon's gifts are. I could probably guess a little, but I won't. But God is using that talent, also those many, many, many hours of hard work that I know that Simon puts in to produce what we see for an hour every Sunday. God uses that talent in His ministry. The same as your crafts. The same as her crafts, as Karen was talking about. So the crafts that Karen does in Lunchtime Connect, that's a talent that's being used in the ministry. Woodwork, all of those things. They're great. They're born with us. As we are born, they're innate, and then we develop them. What it shows us, though, is while they're not spiritual gifts, it does show us that God has, in creating Simon or creating Karen or creating any of us, given us our talents with the foreknowledge of the ministry that He has given us, with the foreknowledge of the gift that He would give us, in order to be able to use us and to be able to use our lives to achieve the purpose that He has. And I just think God is just so amazing. I just get blown away when I think of the finite detail that's gone into our lives. So continuing in Romans, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. Your gift is serving others, well, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, well, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, well, do it gladly. So that's from Romans, and then in Ephesians he also expounds a bit more on the gifts. These are the gifts that God, Christ gave to the church. First there was apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. And their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. The lists of gifts vary between Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians and other references there. And look, there's anywhere from 7 to 9 to 23. It depends upon who's calling what a gift. But the point is, although there's many kinds of spiritual gifts, it is the same Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same body. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. So, just like a normal body, with many, many parts, our body has many, many parts. Our spiritual body has many, many parts. Our church body has many parts. How do you know what's your spiritual gift? How do you find out? Most of the time, it'll be related to your passion. If if you've got a burning desire in your heart, you might be someone who just says, I know my neighbour down the street doesn't know the Lord, and if it's the last thing I do, he's going to know the Lord, and I would really love to see him come to know the Lord. You may have the gift of evangelism. We all are called to spread the word, but some people have that drive in them which is greater than others. We are all called to give to the poor. We're all called to help each other out. But there will be some who will see a need and they will even adjust their lives. If I just cut this out, if I just drop that back a little, I'll have that much money and I'll be able to give. It will be a passion, a burning passion in your life. Stop and think of what might be burning, a burning passion. What is it that drives you? What is your heart? Sometimes that will give you a clue as to where your spiritual gift is. John would be able to help. Sorry, John, I just dropped you in there. And also there's books, and I was thinking, but I really can't tell you the name of any book that I would recommend. I had a look on your shelf, so I didn't have one at home. But you'll find them in Quorum. Careful on Google, but there were some good sites that I found on Google as well. Is there any part of the body more important? No. Does the person who stands up in front every Sunday, is their job more important than anybody else's? No. Is the worship leaders any more important? No. In fact, as Paul says when he talks about the body, he says some parts that we regard seem to be weaker and least important, they're actually the most necessary. If the people who have the gift of helps didn't put those chairs out this morning, guess where we'd be right now? He's sitting on the floor. Not real comfortable, especially for those who find it hard to get up off the floor. Pretty important, this gift of helps this morning, I'd suggest. The gift of helps that produces morning tea over there. It's not a necessity, we are all pretty well fed here in this country, but it's wonderful, isn't it, to be able to go and have a drink and share and talk to each other. The gift of helps is one of the ones which people say, really? Is that what you gave me? Helps? In fact, it's one of the most vital gifts. It'll be the person that you see standing out there doing the washing up. And when someone says, thanks, I say, no, that's fine, that's right. Because that's their motivation. Their motivation is to help. No gift is any more important than any other. Celebrate your gift when you find out what it is, because God has given it to you. How about that? I think it's amazing that God has given us this gift. We can't all be the same. As Paul says, if the body was an eye, how would you hear? Or if it was an ear, how could you smell? No. Our body has many parts, and he has put each part just where he wants it. And that brings us to us. He has put us right where he wants us. And there's a purpose, and there's a plan. And more than that, there's a calling, a missional calling on each one of our lives. None of us can say, well, it's my time in life. It's my time in life, actually, to find out what it is you want me for, God. It's my time in life now. Yeah, I'm working. Yeah, I'm a mother. Yeah, I've got this responsibility. But in the midst of all of that, that is my time in life. My time in life is to show God and to honour God at whatever it is that I am doing today. And it does not matter where you are, who you are, what you do. God has got you there and he has you there for a purpose. At work, there are four people amongst our residents whom I know are committed Christians. Do you know how valuable they are to me? Because I know that there is the light of God shining through those four people. No matter where you are, you have a purpose and a mission. And God will show you what it is. So just to sum up, each of us is a member of God's body. Each of us is part of a greater purpose. The fruit of the Spirit grows. The gift of the Spirit is given as we become Christians on the day. The fruit of the Spirit grows through our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is a result of maturity. The gift of the Spirit can be present and is in a very new, raw, immature Christian. So how do we bind the two of them together? It could be a disaster. If someone who had the gift of giving and full of the passion of being a new Christian said, right, this is it, I'm going out, I'm going to give all the missions, there's no food on the table. That doesn't work, does it? Jesus said, remain in me, stick close to me, and I'll guide you through all of this. Paul covers up on this as well at the end of Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and says, so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, but let me show you a way of life that is best of all. In Romans 12, he says, don't just pretend to love others, really love others. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection, and take delight in honouring each other. In Corinthians he goes on and he says, if I have all of the gifts, and this is what John read, and I use them but do not use them with love, nothing is achieved, and in fact it's worse. It's hollow and it's empty. It's like a noise of God or a clanging cymbal. Love is the antidote that we need to work together, to work in through our this or that. Love is the antidote to the thing that we are not, that we are a bit worried. That's probably the way to say it. We are not mature, but we do with love. Love covers. Love covers a multitude of sins. Whatever you do, do it in love. Love. Do it with patience, do it with kindness. He's just followed on from the gifts of the Spirit. He's come from 1 Corinthians 12 to 1 Corinthians 13. I'll show you a greater way. You've got the gifts. God's giving you the gifts. But whatever you do, do it in love. Do it in patience. Do it in kindness. He's brought the two together. He's brought the fruit together with the gifts and wrapped them all up in love. Three fruits of the Spirit going hand in hand with the gifts of the Spirit. We are the part of the one body, a body that's been masterminded. It's maintained by Christ. Our gifts, our ministry, whatever satisfaction we get are not for our pleasure. They are for the building up of each other and for the global church, the body of Christ. Paul goes on, three things will last forever, faith, hope and love. The greatest of these is love. Amen. Some of you, and my apologies if they weren't enough, were given a piece of paper when you came in called The Greatest of These. It's a song. As the song is played, reflect on the words, meditate on the words, take them into your heart, and use this as a commitment anew to God, that we will devote our lives to Him so that our lives will honour Him and that we will be part of the work that He has for us as part of His body here in Tintin Bay. The greatest of these.